Well, we are in the season of Epiphany. We've come through Advent and Christmas, and now we're into this church season of Epiphany. And Epiphany goes all the way to Lent. So Lent starts in February, and we're in the season of an Epiphany. Are you excited? Oh, yeah. Come on. Epiphany. Thanks, Jim. That was hilarious. So we're going to do a sermon series, this Epiphany, called Light of the World, Who is Jesus? So what we're going to do is look at all the different titles of Jesus. Today's is the Beloved Son. We're going to look at the Lamb of God, Teacher, Prophet, and King. So through Epiphany, we're going to learn all the different titles of Jesus and how Jesus is a light in the darkness, light of the world. Who is Jesus? So when I was a seminary student working as a district sales manager, I was taking part-time courses at seminary, and there was a church leader who was coming from BC, my hometown near Vancouver, and he was coming, and so I was billeting him at my house. And so I was like so excited. This big high church leader was coming to my house, and I was going to be able to ask him all these questions and share wisdom. And really what it turned out, I was gopher boy for a couple days. And that's okay. But, you know, he said, I want eggs cooked this way and that way. So I made the eggs, but they weren't quite right. So I made some new eggs. And then there was toast. It had to be soft, but not too soft and a little bit hard. Oh, there was a whole bunch of toast. Then it was the tea. And I had to make the tea a certain way, but it wasn't filled quite there. And then when he wasn't looking, I turned around and I filled it up with tap water and I gave it back to him, and he didn't even notice. But there was all this anticipation. I was excited for him to be there, and it didn't go the way that I anticipated. It kind of felt like, wait, this isn't the moment that I was waiting for. This isn't the role that I was gonna play. Maybe that's the same feeling John the Baptist had when Jesus came and he was gonna baptize him. He'd been doing all the right things. He was calling people to repentance, to turn back to God, to live a life worthy of the fruit of God. He was clearing the road. He was shoveling the snow. He was putting down the salt, you know, making sure that it was safe for people to come to God. And John was really clear about his role. The text said, you know, I baptize you with water, he says, but the one more powerful than I is coming, and I'm not even worried to carry his shoes, his sandals. So he's clear about it. He knows his role. And then Jesus shows up, not with fire, not with fireworks, not with an army, not with words of judgment, but Jesus comes quietly from Galilee. And he wants to be in the same water that John and the people are going to be in. He wants to get in the river with them. Interesting. You can almost hear John's confusion. This isn't the way it's supposed to go. I'm supposed to baptize you, and yet you want me to baptize you. The text says that John eventually he consents, right? He permits it. That says to me, this troubled John. Like, why would I be baptizing you? Like, it's got to be the other way around. You know, and Jesus insists, let it be so now, for it's proper for us to fulfill all righteousness. This is an epiphany in Matthew's gospel. This is a lights on moment. Pay attention. God's righteousness doesn't arrive with a military power, but it comes through humility. This is Matthew pointing something out. God's power is revealed not by standing above others, but by standing with them. This is God's revelation. In this moment, it exposes something deeper in John, because later on, when John the Baptist is sitting in a prison cell, he says, go back to Jesus and ask him, is he really the one, or is someone going to come after him? He's doubting who Jesus is, because there isn't military might. There isn't this big display. He's not the Messiah whom John expected. He's baptized him in the river. He's heard, this is my son, the beloved, in whom I'm well pleased. And yet he still has doubts. We have doubts too, don't we? We have doubts. Is Jesus really who he says he is? Is this world really going in the right direction that we want? The direction of love and a renewed heaven and a new earth? The trouble in the text is not that John lacks faith. The trouble is God is revealing a Messiah who doesn't fit his expectations, doesn't fit the expectations that he has. Maybe this is why our world right now feels so fractured. Maybe it doesn't fit the expectations. A kingdom where power matters more than people, a kingdom where strength is measured by how much control you have. When that's the kingdom you believe in, that's the kingdom that you're living for, it makes sense that people are just disposable. Just kick them over. It doesn't matter. This is the kingdom that you're living for. You can live this way. We see this when people are reduced to simple labels. We see it when the vulnerable are ignored. We see it when success is built, but you see all the destruction that's in its path. The deeper trouble is when we expect a Messiah who rules the world in this way, then it becomes really dangerous. And we can do things that, in God's name, that I don't think is the right way to be. It doesn't only show up out there in politics or global conflict. It shows up in our own lives, too. In families where control is so strong as opposed to compassion. In churches where it's all about how many people are in the pews as opposed to caring for the community and being shoulder to shoulder, praying for each other, loving each other. When we choose self-protection over self-giving, resentment over reconciliation, or control over trust, these are the things that happen in our world. And it's confusing. Who do you trust? Who is showing us the way? The good news is that in a world shaped like this, with so many competing voices and kingdoms that are rising around us, there is an unchanging word from God. We heard it with a kid. Kids, I love you. God's word, I love you. The voice from heaven, I love you. It's going to be okay. I love you. This world is going in the right direction. It doesn't look like it. There's a kingdom that's there, but there is God's kingdom. It's here now, and you can live that kingdom now. This is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. That's God's epiphany. Listen to him. I love you. This is God's revelation. This is who Jesus is. He is the one to listen to. Notice what kind of son Jesus is. God reveals, not a ruler who dominates, but a son who identifies. Not a Messiah who stands above, but a Savior who gets in the river with us. Amen? Amen. The artists Matthias Grunewald, and Blair has a little picture on the screen. I've shown this so many times in this church, but this painting of the crucifixion was painted, actually, Matthias painted it for hospital patients who were suffering with skin condition. And apparently, if you look really close, Jesus is suffering in that same condition. And so he painted it so these hospital patients could identify that they could, that Jesus understood their suffering. And on the side of Jesus is John the Baptist with this like really long finger, elongated finger, and he's pointing at Jesus. And at the top in Latin, I thought it looked like an exit sign, but that's just me. But this sign in Latin, it actually means, I must decrease and he must increase. There's a lot going on in this painting. Down below is a lamb. The symbolism is Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Karl Barth, one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century, he wrote the Church Dogmatics book. And I was like, when I was a seminary student, I bought this massive, expansive theological works, and I put it up in my office, and it's up there. It's so complex, not going to lie. It was written in German, and the translation's terrible. I don't think I've ever read that, any page out of that book ever since. I don't know why I told you that. But he just said that the task of faith is not to draw attention to ourselves, but like John the Baptist, to point to Jesus. That's how we are to live our lives. Everything we do, if it can point to the one who says, I love you. I love you. Jesus, God's beloved Son, enters into the brokenness of our human condition to identify with us. He walks the path of humility, obedience, and self-giving service as we are too. Isaiah had spoken long before about him. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I've put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry or lift up his voice. A bruised reed he will not break. A dimly burning wick he will not quench. This is the beloved Son. This is the light of the world. This is the hope that God sends to us, to you and me. As followers of Christ, baptized in God's love and grace, we are called to reflect the same light of Jesus. Well, there's a humorous story about misunderstanding faith, and there's this little boy, Johnny, and Johnny is really excited about church. And so his mother is listening to Johnny. He's playing around in the bathroom, and he's got the bathtub, and she hears water running. And she looks, and it's quiet at first, and then she hears this meow. And she looks, and she sees that there's this cat, and she yells, Johnny, stop it right now. Stop it. That cat is afraid of water. And Johnny looks at her, and he says, well, then he shouldn't have joined my church then. It's funny, but it points to something important. Are we here because we're afraid of God? Are we here? Are we here because we're afraid of God? Or are we here because God loves us? What do you think? Fear or love? Amen. We're here because the Savior of the world steps into the river with us, shows us what it is to love, and redeems the world. This is our story, folks. It's love. It's not fear. It's not hate. It's not division, but it's love. The light of the world, love. So here is the invitation of this day. In a world chasing the wrong kingdom, Jesus stands in the water and shows us his kingdom. In a culture obsessed with power, God declares delight. I love you. I love you. I love you. May we listen to him. May we follow him. May we reflect his light. Amen.